Hi, hi. You're listening to the Corporate Cleanse podcast, where we talk about the pros and cons of corporate life and how I, a former fancy executive, hit full burnout and am now on a journey to explore how we all can maintain our sanity and sense of self, all while climbing the corporate ladder. I hope you enjoy listening along with me and know that everyone needs, occasionally, a corporate cleanse. Today, we're going to start like a monthly episode series. A certain episode we're going to do once a month. And I'm calling it Month of Appreciation. But let me tell you where this started, okay? When I started not working, when I stopped working, I was like, I need to wrangle in my expenses. You know, I was like, okay, I'm not a corporate girly anymore. So I got to kind of figure out my expenses and where to save and where to spend, right? And originally this started as a no buy. Like I was going to have a month of no buy. But just this phrase psychologically only makes me want to buy more. Like when you say no buy, I'm like, buy everything? Question mark. Like, that's all I want to do. I just want to buy. So being the marketer that I am, I'm like, okay, I'm going to put a positive marketing-y spin on a no-buy. But this really came from my desire to reset my relationship with outsourcing my happiness. Like, with outsourced dopamine hits via packages, regulating my nervous system with these little quick fixes. And like maybe not buying all the things Instagram tells me I need to buy, right? Rediscovering things that I already have. Using the shit that I already have. And just generally trying to craft more contentedness. So Month of Appreciation was born. I'm not in love with the name. I didn't nail the name, the product naming of the Month of Appreciation, but it is what I'm using. It's what we'll use. So we'll have this one. This one was for April, Month of Appreciation. So let's talk a little bit about my relationship with consuming. When I started really thinking about this after I wasn't working anymore, I had realized when I started to rein in my expenses, how much I was sort of mindlessly buying. And it was like weird, pointless stuff, like just like gadgets on Amazon, you know, just like mindlessly consuming. And I was kind of stuck in between gotta save for my retirement and this shirt will solve all of my problems. I was like right in between that. My dad at one point was telling me about, because I'm trying to get my dad's kind of expenses and estate in order with him, and he was telling me about pension, and I was like, tell me more about that. That sounds great. None of us are going to get pension, but he has pension, and I'm like, not me. Couldn't be me. But I had started to mindlessly consume. And it started to become like a to-do item for me or a hobby because I was so busy with work that I'd get home and I'd be like, okay, how can I make this feel better? Maybe a shirt will make me feel better. And then I would like scroll through the 64 pages on Zara and navigate that unhinged website of what, I don't know, is that a belt? Is it a bag? Is it a vest? Is it a sock? You don't know what they're modeling. You don't know what you're buying. But I would like scroll these pages online so that I could find things that would complete my personality, that would make me whole. I'm like, this shirt will surely make me love myself, make me whole. And it'd become, again, like I said, a hobby or a to-do item. And I was like, okay, I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my corporate funds. And it had also made me really discontent. When you are constantly thinking about things to buy or to add to you, you're really telling yourself that you don't have enough, that you aren't enough, that you I need something to make me good enough because I am inherently not good enough. And that's where I was. I was miserable. I needed quick fix dopamine hits, which ended up being purchases. And then I would trick myself into thinking that would make me feel better. And then it just made me feel worse because I was like, I guess I'm not good enough. And even this shirt couldn't fix it. So let's kind of go through this cycle. Let's analyze this cycle that I think a lot of us can find ourselves in. We work our corporate jobs, and it doesn't even have to be a corporate job. If you're just like working a 9-to-5 or just like a traditional job or just trying to make it, you're just trying to make it however you can. You're trying to cobble together funds, and you're working hours worked in exchange for money. That's just where you're at. That's just, we do this. Then our lifestyle starts to creep up just a bit, you know? Again, I hate saying lifestyle creep because wanting money to fill your gas tank all the way up or to buy a new coat for the winter, that's not egregious lifestyle creep. I think sometimes people can really villainize people for lifestyle creep. Like sometimes it's just trying to get your rational needs taken care of, which is sometimes a vacation. It's sometimes filling your gas tank all the way up. It's sometimes a new car. Like that's those are rational wants and needs. But your lifestyle expenses, let's say, creep up a little bit. And we buy some things to improve our life satisfaction. That's where I was early in my career. Every single pay bump I got, my life satisfaction got better. Every single time that I could go to Discount Tire and buy all four tires at once, my lifestyle got better. My life satisfaction was happier. I was safer. I was happier. And so we work harder. We give more of ourselves. We sacrifice our mental health. We sacrifice our spare time. We sacrifice our weekends to earn more money so that our life satisfaction will creep up. And it feels good. It feels good in the moment. And so our lifestyle creeps a little bit more. And we keep getting more. We keep giving more. So we keep getting more. Suddenly, because you've given so much of your time, your resources, your creativity, your mental energy, that your only source of happiness and dopamine is, and all that we have time for, is spending our money. Holy damn. You have gotten stuck in this cycle of giving everything that you are, including time that could otherwise be spent finding dopamine in other places. So all you have time for is to spend that money. We outsource our happiness because our job or whatever that consists of has taken all of our time, our money, our energy, our creativity, our space. And then the only dopamine hits we have are Zara packages and Amazon packages and vacations where we pay for the dopamine hit instead of having authentic experiences. I used to do this a lot, especially during COVID. COVID was a dark time, obviously. And I remember the FedEx guy was dropping off an Aritzia package. And I sort of shop in this like bulk way. I shop and I buy all these things and I try things on and then I pick one thing and I keep that thing and then I ship them all back, which is so terrible. I'm trying to get better at that because it's terrible on so many levels. It's terrible for the climate. It's terrible for me. It's terrible for this poor FedEx driver. But he dropped off my packages and he kind of looked me in the eye and he was like, are these all for you? And I was like, you're going to shade me here on my porch during shutdown, FedEx? Okay. I mean, I hear you. I'm not proud of this either, but this is all I have. So see you next week. This is where I had gotten that I had so few authentic experiences to derive dopamine from that I had to manufacture it. I had to manufacture it through buying things. I had to manufacture it through, you know, fancy vacations that I didn't really need. I didn't really need to go, you know, maybe one step up in luxury for the hotel. I didn't need to do that. But because I was so desperate for dopamine, I was like, okay, whatever, all I have to give right now isn't my time, my mental capacity, my relationships, my connections. All I have to give right now is money because I've sold everything else for money. So that's all I can give. And then we end up having more money anxiety because we keep pouring our souls into our job and needing more things to be happier. So holy hell, this cycle, like laying it out like this is kind of sobering. Like I am sobered. I am sobered with what my cycle had become. These quick manufactured dopamine hits become all we have. Eating out at a fancy restaurant, paying $7 for a Starbucks coffee, a Zara package, you know, these things that we are trying to manufacture dopamine, but they keep us rooted in this cycle. So we are all so, so sad, but we don't have time or energy. So maybe that random gadget on Amazon sounds pretty good, but then we buy too many gadgets and then we have to work more. That was my life. And we put so much pressure on these things that we've purchased. I'll give you an example. A long denim skirt has been on my list for a long, long time. And I've put so much pressure on this. I'm like, this denim skirt will fix everything. It will give me confidence. It'll round out my wardrobe. It'll give me the respect and the admiration I deserve. And it will make working 80 hours a week worth it. We put so much pressure on these things because they're all we have. They're the only dopamine hits we have. And we put so much pressure. I do this too with vacations. When I was really in the thick of it, my vacations became my only source of dopamine and the only thing I ended up looking forward to. I was so miserable. I was so depressed. I was so overworked. I was so burnt out that I was like, oh, everything in this vacation. And I would over plan this vacation. Every minute would be scheduled with something. And I would try to perfect and buy perfection instead of allowing for an authentic experience, for just good old fashioned fun. Because I had so much riding on this vacation. I had so much riding on this denim skirt because I was so, so sad. I was so, so sad. And then ultimately, we find ourselves feeling again trapped and stuck in this cycle. We talk about this as the root of so much of our depression, our anxiety, our anger, and our bitterness. Because when we put ourselves in these positions, it's like, well, I need my job. You know, how many times have we gone home and just ranted to whoever would listen about how miserable our job is? But then we end with, well, I need my job. I can't afford to lose this job. I can't afford to reevaluate my boundaries and my values and what I want out of life. I need the money. Or like, well, it's good money. You know, like, I hate it. I hate everything about my job, but it's good money. Or I hate my job, but, you know, sometimes it's not bad and it pays well. My boss is awful to me, but annual reviews are coming up and I really want a promotion, right? We trap ourselves in this cycle. And so how month of appreciation started for me was to how to break this cycle, how to maybe just like dip a toe out of this cycle. So month of appreciation for April for me. And I challenge you, as you kind of go through this list, what are the things that I have found to appreciate or reappreciate or use of that I already have that maybe you already have or that you could reappreciate? So month of appreciation for me consisted of four things. Slowing down on my consuming, you know, the no-buy. Rediscovering things that I already have that my sadness in 2020 purchased and I still have. Using the stuff I already have and just overall practicing more contentedness. This is what a month of appreciation means for me. So first, slowing down on consuming. This was a big one for me, okay? What I started doing was making a list of all the things that popped up that I wanted to buy. And I would wait at least a month. I would wait at least a month before I purchased it. Because I find that our consumer-driven world, especially like Instagram ads and like Facebook ads, and you feel this urgency. Something pops up and you're like, I need this right now, or else I will die. I will die. I will perish. So I was like, okay, I'm going to create some space in between that. So everything that popped up for me that I wanted, I wrote down on my Notion document and I waited. And you know what? Those Adidas Sambas that everyone has fell off my list. I waited a month and I was like, you know what? I don't need another pair of tennis shoes. I don't need this pair of tennis shoes that everybody has. I don't need to pay premium price because they're sold out everywhere. Fell off my list. You know what? That long denim skirt that I'm sure is on a lot of our lists fell off the list. The $58 hand cream that comes in a glass container, you know, Instagram served you with this ad. I'm sure they have. Fell off the list. That $28 Victoria Beckham O2 lip definer that all of the makeup influencers tell me to buy. I don't wear lip liner. It fell off the list. That cool ear cuff that you see again on Instagram, it fell off the list. You know what? I'm not even a jewelry person. I don't wear jewelry. I'm not a jewelry gal. What was I thinking? But when I got served with it on Instagram, I was like, I need this to round out my personality. I didn't. It fell off the list. The urgency that these ads create, this list combats those. It creates some space for you, right? Like maybe your neighbor bought, I don't know, a Traeger grill. Do you need it? I don't know. Wait a month. Do you like to grill? I don't know. I don't like to grill. But like the urgency, this is what marketing is. This is what marketing and advertising is. It's to create urgency. So create some space for yourself. And this list has really helped me. It's helped me put something down of like immediately something about me wanted this item. Write it down and then wait a month and see how much falls off your list. And it feels good. It feels good to slow down and recognize that like I'm actually pretty happy. I'm actually pretty happy with, I don't know, the things that I have. So second, as part of a month of appreciation, was rediscovering things I already have. So we went through slow down on consuming. Now we're going to talk about rediscovering things I already have. This has been so fun and unexpected. We're going to go through a roller coaster of random. But part of my month has been appreciating and really acknowledging the things I already have. And if you're like me, you've probably purchased a lot of dope shit. But when you're in this cycle, you say, wow, I need this. You buy it. Wow, I love this for like 3 seconds. And then you're on to the next thing. So it's time to bring some of those original purchases back to life. So let's go through my month of appreciation for things that I have really found a new love for. Like a fun new love for. It's been random and it's been fun. So first, I am the type of person that spends a lot of time optimizing things. Everything about my day, where I go, when I do it, what my routine is, what my schedule is, the timing of my errands, I sit and optimize it. I'm like, okay, I've got a doctor's appointment in this place. It's surrounded by these places that I could run errands at. Like I optimize. except there are a handful of things that are laughably in my life not optimized. So my whole life optimized, but there are things that are just crazy in my life that I'm like, why do you still do this, Jen? It's the opposite of optimal, honestly. Kind of a detriment to my life, even. And one of these things is my Hydro Flask, my black cylindrical Hydro Flask. It's sitting here with me right now. I have it, okay? I worked at a company called Weave in Lehigh. And, you know, they did great swag, man. They did great company swag. I got an Away suitcase. I got, like, a North Face jacket. This was, like, back in the day of, like, we have so many funds. And now you're like, that couldn't possibly be my company. My company doesn't even give me T-shirts anymore. But this was in the days, this was in the heydays of swag. They gave me this 32-ounce black Hydro Flask. And I have to tell you, I have been using this thing every day for the last 3.5 years. It has followed me everywhere. Now, do I want a more optimal water container? Yes. Yes, I do. Have I thought about the Stanley cup that everyone has? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Do I want that Stanley cup to match my manicure and be really cute? I have. I've thought about that. Do I go to REI and see those really cute Nalgene bottles that are like the cute graphic? Whoever does the graphic design at REI, a gem. A gem. A true gem in this world. So if you're listening and you work at REI, kudos. Because it's good stuff. But yeah, I want that REI Nalgene bottle because the graphics are so fucking cute and it's so light. My Hydro Flask is a brick. It is so heavy. It is so heavy. Like taking it to the airport, even when it's empty, it's heavy. And I have to carry it on my shoulder and my bag. It is a heavy bottle. It is not convenient. It's not tiny and cute and efficient. It's just this brick. And on top of that, when I first started using this Hydro Flask, my partner said I should have a better nozzle because it came with one of those like screw tops. Like you have to screw it off, take a sip, and then like screw it back on. It is not an optimal drinking experience. It's not a fast, optimal drinking experience. And when I was first presented with this option of switching out the nozzle, I was like, I don't have the mental capacity to handle this question right now. I can't clear that hurdle mentally to get a new nozzle. So I just stuck with it. I stuck with a little screw top. And I have really loved this Hydro Flask. And so I decided to really lean into it. I was like, I'm going to lean into the fact that I have used this sucker for 3.5 years. And it serves all of my purposes. It does. And it's hard for me to forget because it's so big. And I've kind of gotten used to the weight of it. So now I know what the weight of it feels like. And so if I don't have it with me, I'm like, something's missing. 7.5 pounds is missing from my life. I need to go get my Hydro Flask. It has like a cute little handle because it's the screw top. So it kind of feels like, I don't know, a little purse that arguably has our most valuable resource in it. Water. That was a stretch. But it has a cute little handle. It is durable. It's beat to crap. It is. Like, I have taken this Hydro Flask with me everywhere. I've dropped it, I don't know, 6 times today already. It is dented. It's scraped. It looks terrible. I took it with me to, like, Goblin Valley and just, like, clanged it around the Slot Canyon. It's been with me. It's really gone through a lot. And you know what I really started appreciating too? The screw top. Because I take it to spin class with me. And the spin class can get so sweaty that like the mirrors will fog up. And I'm like, man, that's a lot of other people's sweat getting on things. Like if I had just like one of those normal bottles with like a, I don't know, what's that called? Like a nipple top? Like a bottle top? You know what I'm saying? That is other people's sweat getting on that nipple top. Oh, someone please tell me what that's called. Bottle top, nipple top, that you're then putting to your mouth and sipping. Mine is protected by this little screw top, right? I can take a quick sip and I can put my top back on and it's protected. I think I should just give more credit to this. water container. I've spent a lot of time on it. I really have. But I've really leaned into appreciating my Hydro Flask. Appreciate what you use. Is there something in your life that is just like an absolute workhorse? Like my Hydro Flask is. My Hydro Flask is a workhorse in my life. What could you give more credit to? Instead of constantly being like, I want that Stanley, be like, no, man, this Hydro Flask has been with me for 3.5 years. It has gone through the 360-degree review. It has gone through the annual review. And you know what? Every year, top marks. Top marks. It serves my needs. It serves my purposes. I love it. So think through. Think through something that you use and lean into that. Lean into that. Lean into like that pair of tennis shoes that you've just worn to death that have carried you through life and you keep reaching for because top marks. Does it keep your feet from being on the ground? Yes. Does it go with an outfit pretty well? Yes. Are they comfortable? Yes. Give credit to what you currently are using. Anyway, this was a lot of time spent on my Hydro Flask. I don't know if I'm influencing you to buy a Hydro Flask or like de-influencing you from buying a Stanley. I don't know. But think through your life. Think through something that you use all the time and lean into it. Be grateful for it. I spent a lot of my time resenting this Hydro Flask, wanting something new. But now I'm like, I treasure you. I cherish you, Hydro Flask. Okay. Next thing that I have learned to appreciate this month was I have a classy lady watch. Okay. I've wanted a classy lady watch since, do you remember when that white Michael Kors bracelet watch from like the 2010s, do you remember that? Do you remember it? It was like huge. And was it ceramic? It was heavy. And like Sandra Bullock wore it on The Blind Side and you were like, that is the classiest it gets. I want one. I've wanted one since I can remember. Never could afford one. Nor do I wear jewelry. But back in the COVID days, I bought this gold classy watch. It was like not a fancy brand. It was just, I think I bought it on Amazon. But it has like a gold mesh strap. It has a green face. Like it's kind of a classy lady watch. I wore it a couple times before I was just like on to the next thing. I went to a photo shoot recently and the person taking my photos had this watch on and it was like two-toned metal, square face. It was so cool. And I asked her where she got it, and I almost got in my car and just purchased it right then and there because I was like, this will surely make me cool. This will surely round out my personality. But I took a pause. I added it to my list, like we talked about previously. I added it to my list. And I went home, and I was like, you know what? I already purchased a classy lady watch that at one point I was stoked about. And I really do love it. I really do. So I just leaned back into that. I was like, I'm going to try and wear this guy that I love. I don't need a new one. I barely wear this one enough to warrant a new watch. And I leaned into it. And I've been really liking it. It's been a nice watch. It's comfortable. Serves my purposes. And the best part, I already purchased it. I don't have to purchase it again. I already, you know, sunk cost. Use it. Okay, another thing that I have learned to appreciate this month. Coffee innovations. I feel like over the last couple of years, the amount of coffee innovations that have come to market is staggering, okay? So I've definitely bought into this craze. Cometeer, you know those little like frozen pods? Got into those during COVID. Purchased way too many that have just been sitting in my freezer for a long time. I've been like, maybe I should use these. Like, they popped up so fast when we were all in much needed, you know, dopamine during shutdown. And so I had all of these, but because coffee innovations are constantly popping up, I'm like, maybe I need Emma Chamberlain's new coffee. Maybe I need to try that. Maybe I need to try matcha, like just constantly chasing coffee innovations as they pop up as trends. But I was like, no, Jen, you already purchased a coffee trend years ago that's still taking up space in your freezer. Why don't you use it? And so I have. I was like reaching into my freezer, using the coffee innovation, Cometeer that I already purchased. And it's great. It's great. It's fast. It's convenient. The coffee tastes great. And I already purchased it. See where I'm going with this? Like, learning to really appreciate the things that you already have is really nice. It's really nice. It can be a fun feeling to kind of feel like, I don't know, rich again. That like life is rich. That the things that I already have I'm surrounded by, bring me a lot of joy and a lot of happiness. Next, my phone case. Okay, I have to tell you a story. I got a new phone, and I'm not one of those people that buys every new upgrade of the iPhone. I just can't keep up. But I was making a big jump. I was making a big jump to the 13. I think joke's on me. I think the 14 came out like right after that. Like, I think I came home with my phone and my husband was like, did you know the 14 comes out next week? And I was like, sure didn't, but I'm going to be happy with my 13. And then I was going on a work trip like right after I purchased it, and I didn't have a phone case for it. And again, you should see my Hydro Flask. If you see my Hydro Flask, you would never trust me with anything fragile ever. You would never give me anything of precious value. So my phone, I was like, I need a case. I need a case immediately. And so I bought one at the airport. I went into the airport. They had 4 case choices. One had Squirtle on it, the Pokemon. One had peaches on it. One had bananas on it. And then one was clear. And I was like, okay, I'm going on a professional work trip. I can't do the peaches. I can't do the Squirtle, and I can't do the bananas, so I'm going to do the clear one. It was supposed to just be a stopgap. It was supposed to just get me through the work trip, and then I would find a cool case that matched my personality later. I haven't. And you know what? That clear phone case has been doing its job. I've dropped my phone. My phone hasn't cracked. And it's fine. It does the thing. I don't need another phone case. It's doing fine. Again, it's a workhorse in my life, and I already purchased it. Grateful for that phone case that I bought at a random airport. Another one. I may have alluded to this earlier. Egg salad. Now, I know you have to go purchase egg salad. This isn't necessarily like something you just already buy. You have to buy groceries. But hopefully eggs are like already on your list. I love egg salad. I have been boiling eggs. I've actually been using my Instapot to boil eggs. It takes like 5 minutes. I've been just having this like store of hard-boiled eggs, okay? They're easy. They're a fast-filling item. Lately, I've been chopping them up, mixing them with a little mayonnaise, sprinkling smoked paprika on them. So this is critical. The Trader Joe's smoked paprika is so good. Chef's kiss. And a little bit of cracked pepper, and I put it on toast. And I have been loving this. I have been loving this. And let me tell you, I used to be one of those people that would, like, when you scroll Instagram, you just see all these, like, amazing breakfast bowls, and you just want to be that person. You're like, oh, my God, that acai bowl looks so good. That oatmeal bowl looks so good. But, like, honestly, you don't have all those ingredients. I don't have pepita seeds. I don't have almond butter. I don't have hemp seeds at my disposal. I don't have cacao nibs at my disposal. So in order for me to make that oatmeal bowl that someone has made look so good, I would have to go to the store and buy like 9 ingredients. I don't need to be doing that. I can use the eggs that are already in my fridge and make a really dope, delicious egg salad toast. I know that's a stretch, but I want people to know this because I've been really into egg salad and it's been really good. It's been really good. It's been a hyperfixation for me for the last couple of weeks. Next on my list of things that I have appreciated this month, Duolingo. Okay, Duolingo. Listen, I wish I would have learned a new language when I was in like third grade, when my brain was at its peak performance of memory retention, but I didn't. And I want to learn a new language. So I'm trying to learn Italian. I purchased like the year subscription of Duolingo. I was like, I'm investing in myself. I'm investing in this skill. So I purchased this like year subscription, which is quite the commitment for an app. But I will tell you, I have committed and I have been loving it. Duolingo, if you take like a step back, even if you don't work in software and tech, it is an amazing app. And it's like fun, it's engaging, and I'm learning. I'm learning a new language. I mean, I'm giving it my college try, you know, giving it my best and giving it my all, but I am trying to learn a new language, and I've been really appreciating this app. So those are my weird random things that I have been appreciating over this last month. And I challenge you to just think about some of the things in your life that you don't give enough credit to. You know, I think because we're constantly on this cycle of production and what's next, what's best, what's biggest, what's brightest, what's shiniest, what's sparkly, you know, we kind of forget the things that we're currently surrounded by that are fantastic. So do an audit. Do an audit of the things that are in your life that are doing work for you and are great and are serving your purposes, and lean into it, because it feels good to not only just appreciate it, but like lean into it. Like, I see my hydro flask and I'm like, I am grateful for you. You make my life good. You solve this need for me that I have, and you do it. You do a great job. Okay, the last piece of month of appreciation. So again, it was slowing down consuming, rediscovering things you already have, and using your shit. Using stuff you already have, okay? I'll give you some context for me. I have not being prepared trauma. I have trauma from not being prepared in my life. So my mom worked my entire life. And she worked tough jobs. She didn't go to college, and she worked kind of more manual jobs. And she worked so hard my whole life. But because she worked so often, you know, I was always the kid that came unprepared to school, to school trips, sleepovers. I was never prepared. I never had the right pajamas. I never had the right lunch. I was just unprepared most of my childhood because my mom was just busy. I remember a time in elementary school, we were doing like little, I think it was like a parachute project, and I needed to bring a spool of thread, but I think my mom sent me with a bobbin instead. And I remember the shame that I felt about this mistake. And so I have this trauma. I have this childhood trauma of not being prepared. And so what that has resulted in my adulthood is over-preparedness. I have backups on backups on backups, because something terrible will happen if I go to reach for the shampoo and it's gone and we don't have any in the house. Something will happen. So we have a closet in our house that is just full of backups. Backups of lotion, of shampoo, of toothpaste, just to soothe this trauma that I have. But it became less about the function of the item and more about the comfort of having the item, which I feel like is close to, like, I don't know, being a little bit of a hoarder. Because it's no longer about the things. It's about being surrounded by the things, right? This is how I used to look at things. I did this with wine for a while. I never wanted to use the wine because it felt better to have it in case I needed it, which is like so backwards. I would buy all this wine. I would put it in my closet or my cabinets, and I'd be like, I don't want to touch it. It's for special occasions because it feels better to have it in case I need it. And I'm like, but what if I need it right now? Nope, don't use it. Don't use that wine. And so I had this like stash of an insane amount of wine bottles. And I had like this stash of insane amount of like shampoo bottles and conditioner bottles that I was like, it feels better to have it than to use it. No, use it. Use it. Use your stuff. You know, a lot of us may do this with like, I don't know, a pair of shoes. You bought this pair of shoes for like a fancy occasion and you're like, I don't want to ruin them. And so you never wear them. And what is the function of shoes? To wear them. To wear them and use them. So use your stuff. Whatever you're sort of like holding precious because it feels good to have it, like if you have some control issues, if you have some not being prepared trauma, you may have some of this tendency. Use the stuff you already have. Use your stuff. Use all those samples you get from, I don't know, Sephora. I have a huge basket of samples from Sephora that I'm like, it feels good to have this big pile. I'm safe in my pile. Just use it. Use it because you have it. That weird, I don't know, stuff you bought during shutdown in a panic from the grocery store. Like, we have a box of stuffing. I bought a box of stovetop stuffing in our cabinet, or in our cupboard, our pantry. Use it. You bought like 5 cans of black beans during shutdown out of panic. Use them. Use your stuff. You bought it to use it. So use it. Don't kind of keep things as precious just in case, or like, it feels safer to have it. Use your shit. So takeaways today in month of appreciation. If you have a better name suggestion, let me know. But this is where I've landed. The month of appreciation. This cycle of working to buy things, then you feel good, so you work more, and then you don't have time for happiness anymore, so you need to buy more things, and then you need to keep working to afford that happiness. That cycle is really, really toxic, and that cycle is really hard to break. And that cycle is definitely where I found myself, you know, 6 months ago, was this never-ending cycle. We need to take a step, or at least a couple of toes, outside of this cycle before we completely feel trapped and powerless and unhappy. You have the power to control your life. How you want to live it, what job you stay at or don't stay at. And one really powerful way to step out of this cycle is to reframe your relationship with buying things. So, month of appreciation. Let me know if this was fun, or if you're like, please don't do this on a monthly basis. It was so weird. I don't know. I'll probably have another equally random list for you next month of things that I've appreciated. But I want to know what yours are too. Start your own lists. Start a list of things that you want to buy. Wait a month. Consider it before you buy it. And like, start a list of things that you're rediscovering that you already have, that you already purchased, that you maybe don't give enough credit to, that you use every day, and that you could really lean into appreciating it and really lean into enjoying it instead of constantly thinking about what's next, what's best, what's biggest. And that's it for today. I'll see you next time, everyone.